Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. It is the winter, but if you're a true grilling guy, you know that there's no season where we stop grilling. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical for the next couple weeks. He's out in British Columbia for his work this week, and next week he's going down to the Caribbean somewhere to camp on a beach or something and get in touch with himself or whatever that may be. But anyway, so I'm very fortunate. Made a call to one of my best friends in the cooking business, a guy that, as you will hear throughout the show today, is a wealth of knowledge and experience. And I'm not exaggerating. I bet I've eaten 500 meals that this guy has prepared for me over the last 25 years at the various restaurants and places where he's worked. So joining us is Chef Andrew Smith. Andrew, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, Jop. It's a pleasure being here, and can't say that I miss Bob being gone.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you know, everybody likes Bob in small doses, but no, he's a good man, and he's having some fun working this week and going to be playing next week, and everybody needs a little getaway. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl this week, but before we get into that, I want to talk about, I bought a tri-tip, went over to Sobey Meats on the west side of Grand Rapids and bought this tri-tip steak, walked in there, had no intention of doing it. But it was a it was one of those deals where there's usually like $9.99 a pound. He had them on sale for $6.99 a pound. Looked like a pretty good cut of meat, but I think I had marginal success grilling it. So it was a little. I got it to the right temperature, but it seemed a little bit tough to me. And I had marinated it in just a store bought jarred marinade, almost a little teriyaki side of the flavor, but. Let's put you to work right now and say, okay, so if you walked in, saw a nice tri-tip, I think it was like 2.5 pounds that I bought. Okay. Take me from the time you walk in the door till the time it hits the grill. What are we going to do with that?
Well, you know, with tri-tips, it's a cut of meat that tends to be a bit on the leaner side, a little bit tougher than most other cuts. So it does lend itself to marinating and or brining. Two different processes. One, you know, the marinating helps to break down that connective tissue. The brining tends to help bring moisture into that cut of meat or product that you're working with. So one, I would, you know, going to the butcher is the best thing to do versus going to your basic grocery store, because your butcher is going to hand select the things that you like. He's always going to have your best interest in mind. He wants to see you keep coming back. So that being said, you know, Sobey Meats, nobody better in town that does it.
Right.
But then, you know, when I get it home, I would probably, you know, take a look at a combination of not only marinating it, but also brining it. So I would probably want to brine it in whatever flavors I want that meat to pick up for, you know, a few hours, and then pull it out. And I'd probably put a marinade on it then at that point to help kind of break that connective tissue down. But, you know, the most important thing when you get those type of cuts of meat is, one, cooking it properly. When you go to put it on the grill, I always tell people, first and foremost, it's kind of a 5 to 6 step process when cooking steaks. You know, first step being, you know, letting that meat come to room temperature. That's the number one key, so you get an evenly cooked meat and it's not tough. Two, season it really well. Don't be afraid of using that seasoning. Three, making sure your grill is hot. Hot grill, if you don't have a hot grill or a hot cast iron skillet, you're just not doing it justice. Four, cooking it to the right temperature, you know, and then five and six are the resting. Inch to inch and a half steaks, I usually let rest 5 to 10 minutes. If it's anything thicker than that, it's 10 to 15 minutes. And if I'm doing something like a huge roast, it can rest anywhere up from a half hour to an hour. Because what you want to do is that intense heat kind of forces everything into the meat, all the juices into the center. And then by allowing it to rest, you let that juice come back out and naturally tenderize it.
Okay, we just covered 1,000 miles in 3 minutes right there because there's a lot of questions that I want to go back on. So I'm going to try to remember them all. I'm going to start at the beginning.
I got one last thing, though, on especially like tri-tips and any steak. The most important part is the last step, and that's how you cut that steak. And you always want to cut perpendicular to how the grain and the muscle runs in that meat. You don't want to cut with the grain because you're going to get longer strands of meat, and it's going to feel tougher to you just in mouthfeel.
Okay. Great. That loaded with tips there. What I first want to do is you said you're first going to brine it and then you're going to marinate it. Okay. So in layman's terms, difference between a brine ingredient wise and the marinade, and we understand what they do. One's creating tenderness. The other one's creating flavor.
Correct.
Right. But what are the basic ingredients of a brine versus a marinade?
In a brine, you're looking at whatever liquid you're going to put it in. It can be water, it can be stock, it can be beer, hard cider, regular cider. It can be, you know, any type of liquid medium that you want to use. You do want to stay away from anything with any high amount of alcohol because that'll tend to toughen the meat up and dry it out. But then you're adding salt to that solution, and typically you're looking at about a cup to a gallon of water. You want dissolved in
there. A cup of salt to a gallon of water.
Right. Okay. And that allows you to get the right salinity in that solution. And what happens is just through osmosis, you're moving that salt solution from a higher concentration to a lower concentration.
Okay.
And, so, then you've got your flavoring ingredients.
And that salt in there, your flavorings might be an aromatic or some other spice. And what you're trying to do is drive that moisture in, and that salt kind of helps that process.
Exactly.
Okay. Does it make the meat real salty?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
You're not going to get an overly salted flavor from it. You will pick up more flavor. And by using your aromatics, your herbs, spices, garlic, onions, you know, whatever you want, it's going to help to infuse that flavor right into the meat.
Okay, so we pull it, and that's tri-tip, this 2.5-pound tri-tip.
Yep.
How long are we going to brine that one approximately?
I typically go on something like that, maybe, you know, 2 hours.
Okay. So we pull it out. Do we rinse it off? Do we pat it dry before we put it in a marinade? Or
I pat it dry just to get, you know, any of the residual off of it.
Okay.
And then at that point, I would put it into a basic marinade that you want to do to help kind of tenderize it and get the outside flavors going.
Okay. And again, the marinade of a few basic ingredients in that and a good one for a tri-tip.
Good one for tri-tip that I generally use is a red wine vinegar and olive oil or blend oil, you know, a neutral oil flavor. And then, again, any flavors that you want on the outside of that meat.
Okay.
And you're looking for about a 1-to-3, 1-to-4 ratio of your acid to your oil.
And the acid comes from the vinegar. The oil is obviously an olive oil, like from Old World Olive Company or some other source that you get that
from. Yep, and you don't need to use anything as high as like an extra virgin finishing oil. You just want a basic oil that's going to carry on the marinade process. And when I say red wine vinegar, you could use cider vinegar, you could use lemon juice, you can use red wine because of the acid in the red wine. So any type of acid product, you know, papaya juice, pineapple juice, you can use because of the enzymes that are in there help to break down the connective tissue of the meat.
And that's what the marinating process is doing, is breaking down that connective tissue. So when you cook it, it's going to be more tender.
Correct.
So we got moisture in it from the brining, and we've got tenderness in it from the marinating. And the combination of those two, you've been working with this cut now for about 4 or 5 hours before it ever is going to even come close to the grill, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then the part that you said, I think, was number three, and we'll cover this, and then we got to go to break. But number three was bringing it out and letting it come to room temperature. Explain the efficacy or the reasoning behind that.
The reason behind that is what happens is if the steak isn't at room temperature, you're going to hit it with all this high heat, and you're going to drive all the juices to the inside, and it's so cold that then what happens is your steak's going to be underdone, and you're not going to have that even color throughout. You're going to have that gray outside and that blood-rare, raw, chewy inside to it.
Right. Okay, well, pull up your bootstraps and hang on, because we got a little bit of education coming at us today with Chef Andrew Smith joining me here at the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. If you're just tuning in, Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical, and I've got joining me in the right chair is Chef Andrew Smith. And if you missed the first segment, you're going to want to go back and listen to that one on thegrillingguys.com, because this guy is a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to have you tighten the boots up and hang on, because this is all about education today, and we're going to finish with a little bit of Super Bowl. But before we get there, in the last segment, we talked about a tri-tip is a cut of meat, brining it, marinating it, and then bringing it to room temperature. Well, now the fun part is we're going to take it to the grill. So, Drew, take it away. It's on the counter. Where are we going from here?
All right. So next thing we're going to do is we're going to put it on the grill. But, you know, there's two camps on grilling. Either got the gas grill guys or the charcoal guys. And I got to be honest with you, I'm in both camps. There's times where I want to use my charcoal, where I use nothing but, you know, solid lump charcoal. But then there's times where I just like the intense heat I can get out of a gas grill.
Infrared gas grill, sure, yeah.
And, you know, I got to be honest, you know, we just got done doing the remodel at our house, and thanks to the wonderful guys down there at Garrett's, they talked me into dropping some big coin on a Viking gas grill, and I'll tell you what, that baby gets hot. I mean, up to 800 degrees, and that's exactly where I want it for my steaks.
Right. So there you are. Now, a lot of guys might not have a professional-level grill like that, but you can still get your grill hot. You turn that thing on high, let it set 10, 15 minutes, get those grates really smoking hot. Why do you want that?
You want that because you want to be able to sear that outside and create that crust, which is going to give you a texture. It's going to give you that caramelized barbecue flavor on the outside of the steak. And cook it as quickly as possible so you can force that juice into the inside of the meat. And then when we get to that point of resting the steak, it's going to allow those juices to come back out. So you don't want a low and slow, you know, type of cooking on a steak. That being said, you know, other cuts of meat and seafood, pork chops, chicken, you know, tend to want to have a much lower heat. I reserve the high heat on my grill for two things and two things only, and that's beef and steaks and lamb. Everything else I like to do on a much lower temp.
Yeah.
You don't end up drying the meat out, you know. And as a general rule, the fattier the cut of meat that you're cooking, the higher the temperature, the heat that you want, and the leaner the meat that you've got, you want to do it on a little bit slower. So like your chicken breast, you're going to do on a much lower temp.
Right, and that heat is going to render some of that fat out of the meat, create the juice. You got to watch for flare-ups a little bit. If you got a professional grill, usually you got some heat shields down there, and that grease will actually hit those shields and create a nice smoke. Our friends at sometimes tell us that that's a carcinogen, but not if you're doing it properly and you're not cooking this thing to a blackness, right?
Exactly, yeah. And you know, nothing like a little. You know, thrill of the grill and the flavor off of there. So there's worse things that you could be putting in your body.
Yeah.
Lord knows most of us have already done it already.
Yeah, right. It's there, right? Whether we want it to be or not. But okay, so you've got this thing on. We're big proponents of instant read digital thermometers. Thermapen is one that we use on a regular basis. They're not a sponsor. I'm not pushing them. I'm just saying that's a good piece of equipment. There's a lot of instant read digital thermometers out there, but if I want that we're back on this tri-tip, it's a dense piece of meat, probably was about 2 inches, 2.5 inches tall on the thick end, and it goes down to a point, right? Obviously, that point's going to get done quicker, but I brought that thing to about 125 internal temperature at the thickest part is when I pulled it off, set it off, and let it rest. The significance of the resting is what happens during that period?
Well, during the resting, what happens is, like I said, when it comes off the grill, it's like taking a balloon and squeezing it at both ends. You push everything right into the center. Well, by taking it off the heat, you allow that the ends of that balloon, the meat, to relax, and those juices then slowly start to go back out to the outside edges of the meat. What this does is, in the slow process of resting, naturally tenderizes the meat by those juices moving slowly back through the muscle, you know, structure.
So am I worried about serving my guests cold meat?
It's not going to be cold. It's still going to be, you know, nice and hot and warm. But what you're going to get, and the best rule of thumb is, if you cut into a steak and you end up with juice all over your plate and the outside of the steak edges, the top and bottom, are gray and the inside is bloody red, you haven't let that meat rest long enough. You should let your meat rest long enough that when you cut it, you don't lose any of the juice. And two, that the color, the temperature you cook it at, whether or not it's a rare, a medium rare, well done, whatever, is even all the way throughout. And that's where you get that. That's what the resting will do for you.
Right. And it's a critical part of the steak before it hits the plate for your guests or your family or yourself, is that rest is huge. So many times I see guys take them right from the grill to the plate, and 2 minutes later, they're putting a knife through it, and they wonder why the last half of the thing is so dry. The first two bites were great because the juice was flowing, but then it flowed, and it's all over your plate.
And that's exactly what happens is, like I said, when you squeeze that balloon at the ends, if you cut into it right then, it's under such high pressure, it's just going to squeeze right out of the meat, and you're going to end up with dry, tough meat, and you're going to go, this was a terrible cut of meat.
Right, and when in fact it was a great cut of meat, terribly prepared.
Exactly.
Right, so, or at least the last step of it is what it was. You could have done it. That's the thing about this resting that's so important, is you could have done all the stuff that we've talked about up, you know, the brining and the marinating and the letting it come to temperature and grilling it to the right temperature, but if you cut it too soon, all of that almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't. You've just ruined all the hard work that you put into it.
Yep, so... So anyway, our friends at Garrett's Appliance have a very nice grill selection. Kingsland Hardware focuses on the charcoal, and you mentioned that you're in both camps, as I am. We both have several grills, but with the charcoal, is there any difference in the cooking technique? We use lump charcoal. We're big proponents of that.
So am I.
Here at the Grilling Guys. And the reason is you get a really even heat. You get very, very little ash. And if you're done cooking, you can snuff it out and reuse it again.
Exactly. And the startup time on lump charcoal is a lot faster than it is on briquettes. You can be cooking in 10 to 15 minutes on lump charcoal. And it's the closest thing that you're going to get to some of the high intensity of these professional grills. You know, if you use lump charcoal on a regular grill, you're going to get that same heat that you would get out of a natural gas grill. So it's really intense. I love the flavor you get off of that, and you can, you know, use mesquite, you can use alder wood, a lot of different woods, but man, I just love a natural fire. And the big difference is you just got to get used to, there's going to be hot spots on your grill and where the charcoal is going to be a little bit hotter than that. You just got to learn that stuff. And that's just, you know, practice. You know, don't be afraid.
And you can see it, you know, because the cool part about lump charcoal is it creates an ember when it's ready to cook. You don't want any flame. You're not cooking on flame. You're cooking on this red ember that's kind of like almost moving. You can see it getting darker, lighter red, and then you know it's ready. And if you've never done this at night, it's very evident at nighttime if you've cooked on a grill when it's dark out this time of year. You know, by the time you get home from work, it's dark. You get a fire going. It's really dark. And it's easy to watch.
Yeah, goals. You get almost an infrared type of color off of it. But like I say, that heat is so intense on that. And that's, you know, you just can't get that out of briquettes.
Lots of bare knuckle grillers with charcoal because the hair's burned off the back of your hand.
No hair on my hands, I can tell you that.
That's funny. So, but the charcoal does impart its own flavor different than a gas grill. I'm a believer of that. Some people tell me it's bunk, but to me, a steak on the charcoal has a different flavor than that on the gas.
It does. And, you know, especially like if you're doing burgers where you get high fat and you get those flare-ups, you're going to get more of that outdoor wood fire flavor to your burgers. I also like charcoal for longer cooking times where I'm smoking or, you know, slow cooking an item. Cooking a whole prime rib on a charcoal grill is awesome because you've got such a long cooking process that you allow that wood flavor and natural campfire flavor right into the meat. You just can't get that out of a gas grill.
Exactly. It just doesn't happen. Coming up next, we're going to dive into a subject of aging meat. Sometimes people get a little squeamish when you can say that this steak has been aged for 30 days. They're like, man, it's got to be rotten. It might even have a little dried up crusty and even a touch of mold if it's not done properly on the outside. But that stuff's all cut away, and the result is one of the best steaks you'll ever eat. So we're going to talk about wet aging and dry aging meat. You listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, We'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Put your feet on the floor. Get out of bed. Nudge mama to go out and fire up the grill so that you can stay in there another 15 minutes. But if that isn't working for you, because it doesn't work for me either, then get out and fire up your grill. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob's out on sabbatical for the next couple weeks, and joining me in the studio is Chef Andrew Smith. If you've missed the first two segments, it's been all about an education and why stop now. This guy is an expert in so many areas, I can't even tell you. And we're about to dive into the subject of wet aging and dry aging meat. And if you've not learned about this, it's a pretty interesting technique to make your predominantly beef, but you can do it with a lot of different proteins. But to make your cuts of meat much more tender and much more flavorful. So, Drew, quickly, difference between wet aging and dry aging.
Well, real quick, wet aging tends to be you do it in a Cryovac bag. They call it bag aging. It's where they take the primal cuts of the meat or even the steaks, put them into a Cryovac chamber, suck all the air out of it, seal it, and the natural juices and blood create the enzymes and break down and tenderize the meat. In dry aging, you're working more with the primal cuts of the meat where you've got huge short loins, ribs, with all the fat cap on. And at that point, you're putting them in a temperature and humidity controlled environment, i.e. a meat cooler, and you're allowing the natural fungi in the air to help to break down that natural process. You get some evaporation from that, and what happens is that concentrates and gives you that real beefy, meaty flavor because you're reducing the water content in the meat, but you're still ending up with the same amount of meat that you have.
So this is a professional technique. The average guy at home doesn't do this because it just takes equipment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just can't take that tri-tip that we had and just put it in your refrigerator at home and let it sit for 2 weeks.
The door opens and closes, the temperature changes, the humidity changes, and it just doesn't work. So I found a guy named Frank Rizzo that has a unit called the Steak Ager. And this guy has brought that process to your house and with this new piece of equipment. So right now on the live line, we got Frank Rizzo from the Steak Ager. Frank, thanks for joining the Grilling Guys.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, you
excellent.
Know what? We're excellent. Thank you. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to you because you heard our intro there. And everybody that has ever had a dry-aged steak has ranted and raved about it because of the flavor difference and the tenderness difference. Tell me what you've developed to help us do this at home.
What we've done is we've created a box that's made out of high-density polyethylene, which is basically cutting board material and stainless steel. And we put a control deck in it that circulates air as well as controls the humidity within the box. So this appliance goes right inside your second refrigerator next to your beer and all the rest of the stuff. You load a full subprimal or basically three-quarters of a subprimal in there. It holds about 22 pounds worth of beef. And allow it to dry age just like a high-end restaurant would over a period of anywhere from, you know, 14 to 70 days. Some guys have gone 100 days. And what the dry aging process does, it circulates the air around the beef and forms what's called a pellicle, which is a crust on the outside. And as this forms, the enzymes start to break down the connective tissue on the inside. The air that you circulate around it oxidizes the fat, which creates a totally different flavor. And you're also driving water out of the beef, which concentrates the flavor. So you get tenderness from the breakdown of the connective tissue. You get an oxidation of the fat. And then as well as you get a concentration of the fat. In other words, the ratio between the meat itself and the fat changes because the meat is losing water and the fat is not. So you get a whole really well-marbled product, such as, say, a prime ribeye. And then what you do is you concentrate this flavor and you get a steak like you've never had before.
So this is a pretty, this is just a modern adaptation of what's been happening for hundreds and even thousands of years of this dry aging process, but you've brought it to my refrigerator, and I don't have to hang a half a cow out back in the ice house anymore. I can do this in my fridge. Now, when these things come out of the dry aging unit, the steak ager, right?
Yep.
What do I have to do with this? Do I just cut it and throw it on the grill, or is there any prep I've got to do with the meat?
Yeah, it's going to form what's called a pellicle on the outside, which is like almost like a skin. And you're going to have to shave that skin off. Now, that's totally usable because our box has a UVC light inside of it, which is runs at a very specific wavelength, which disrupts all of the bacteria within your unit so that there's no mold growth, there's no bacteria, there's no anything that can harm you. So a whole piece of meat is edible. But what you're going to want to do is take it out, take a boning knife, shave off the outside, cut it into steaks, and then see places you may have to do a little bit more trimming once you cut them into steaks. And then you're going to put them on the grill. They're going to cook 2 to 3 times faster. We have guys do it a myriad of ways. Some guys smoke the whole roast and then cut it up, and then they'll sear it. Guys do the reverse sear method. Guys do a sous vide to a sear, whether it's on the grill or it's on cast iron. They do it a whole myriad of ways, but it cooks really quickly. And the stuff that's left over, that's the brilliant part about it, is you take it, grind it up, and then you mix it in a 4-to-1 ratio with like a 80-20 fresh chunk for the grocery store, and you have dry-aged burgers that will blow your mind.
So, Frank, when you do this, you're looking at using more in your steak ager, the whole primal cut of meat. You're not using like just actual steaks that you just throw in the dry ager in that, correct?
No. Yeah, exactly. No. The reason is twofold, really. One is it's just not designed for that. It's designed for whole subprimals. Like when you traditionally dry age things, restaurants don't just dry age individual steaks. And then secondly is you could do it, but your loss would be so great, right? If let's say you're losing an eighth to a quarter inch on the outside of a roast. If you turn around and apply that to an inch and a half steak, right, you've lost essentially a third of the total steak to this pellicle on the outside. So it's designed for a 15 to 20 pound subprimal. That you're going to end up losing maybe 20%, but that's all going to be water weight. You're not losing any actual meat. You're just losing the water as it evaporates off.
Correct. And do you still find that when you're aging it in the steak ager that those subprimals will get that nice deep mahogany color like you normally see?
Absolutely.
And yeah, and that's the thing that I've tried to explain to people that they got to get used to when they eat a dry aged steak versus a wet aged steak is not only the color but that flavor. Not in a negative way, but I always find that dry-aged beef tends to pick up a little bit more of a maybe gamier or beefier type of flavor, and it doesn't have that bloody, liquid flavor that a wet-aged steak does. You find that same thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's unavoidable because you're driving the water out of the beef. So,
Frank,
you're only concentrating that.
Let me ask you, how can we find one of these things? Where do we get one?
From my website. www.thesteakager.com.
Okay, and are they all the same size, or there's
right now everything? Right now, they're all the same size. We'll be coming out with a larger version, probably mid-year. That's going to hold actually 2 full subprimals, so it'll be the equivalent of about 45 pounds worth of beef.
Okay, and if somebody wants to buy one of these things, what are they retailing for?
$249, free shipping throughout the continental U.S.
All right. Well. I think the grilling guys are gonna be on that website and pull one of these things our way. I want to give this a try because I think if it does what it says it's going to do, and I got no reason to believe it won't. This is a great value to produce that kind of a dry aged steak for the average guy, and I'm gonna give it a run.
Yeah, I think you can count me in on that too.
Yeah, the economics of it are great because you can buy a subprimal on sale, at a choice level for. $7.99 a pound, and within 3 weeks or so, turn it into something that if you even bought it off the internet, you're looking at $35 to $50 a pound.
Right. All right, Frank, thanks so much for your time today and sharing your great little invention with us, and we'll report back after I get one of these things to give it a try. So month or two, we'll have you back on the show.
Perfect. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. That's Frank Rizzo from a place called thesteakager.com. Check it out. For $250, you can get dry-aged steaks in your house. Coming up next, might be a little bit of time to dive into some Super Bowl snacks. Stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orin Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Barbecue Bob is out on sabbatical. I'm Jop. And joining me in the studio, if you're just tuning in, is Chef Andrew Smith, a wealth of knowledge and experience. Been on the wrong side of the restaurant for his whole career. And when I say wrong side, I was on the right side because I mentioned earlier, I bet I've eaten 500 of his meals if I've eaten one. I followed this guy all over his career and where he's been. And this man can cook. And if you missed the first three segments, go back and listen to them because there's been a ton of knowledge imparted. But we're going to keep this ball rolling right now. Jump into a little fowler game. Chef Andrew is an avid hunter, as I am. He actually keeps three bird dogs at his house. So this is a guy that when it comes to pheasant, grouse, turkey, or any of the fowl, he's my go-to guy when I want a recipe or a technique. So wanted to touch on that because a lot of our listeners are bird hunters.
And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yep. So we talked a lot about beef before. Let's dive into some fowl, something that maybe not everybody has, pheasant or turkey, but like a domestic turkey, if you went and got one. What are you going to do to it just to amp it up and rock it up a little bit?
Again, because, you know, unless you're getting a free-range turkey from, you know, a small heritage breed farmer, the domestic turkeys nowadays just don't have hardly any fat in them, and they're raised so quickly that they don't have a whole lot of flavor either. So, again, going right back to how do we get flavor into a meat, we brine it. And I love to take cider and all the Thanksgiving, you know, flavors, your sage, your fresh thyme, any of those flavors and make my basic brine with that and just let that turkey sit in that thing overnight, even 2 days if you want. And then I like to throw that on the grill, start it at a nice high heat, cooking it breast side down, and then I turn that heat down and just let it go real nice and slow, and you get a wonderful barbecued turkey that has all the flavors of Thanksgiving in it already.
Are you using direct heat or indirect heat?
Indirect heat on that.
Okay. All right, so even with the breast side down, you're not over the fire, you're beside it.
Exactly.
Right? On the gas grill or charcoal grill, either way you want to do it.
And what that cooking it breast side down does is it's more of a common sense approach to cooking that bird. When you think about where all the fat and flavor is in that turkey, well, it's in the dark meat, the legs, the thighs, and the back part of that turkey. Well, if you cook it breast side up, all the juice from the breast runs down into the meat and thighs, and you really don't need any more juice there. Where you need it is in the breast. So if you cook it breast side down, all those juices basically naturally baste that turkey breast. And when you pull that turkey out, you're going to have an extremely moist, juicy, and tender breast to the turkey. And it cooks a lot faster that way, too.
Right. So we get, if we go to our local butcher and we get a fresh turkey, right, or the heritage turkeys that you're talking about, they're going to have a little more fat on them, right, just because of the way they were raised, the way they were fed, and they wasn't a corporate thing. It was farmer.
Exactly.
Right? Farmer Dave, right?
Yeah, Farmer Dave, Farmer Doug, all those guys, Doug Uselak up at 3J Farms in Cedar Springs, raises turkeys every year, and we get one from them every year. And, you know, the meat, the white meat is more of a off-white, you know, meat because those turkeys are allowed to free range and their wings are moving all the time. So they build a little bit more muscle structure, and the dark meat tends to be a little bit darker. I like that because it's got a lot more flavor to it. And because of the natural fat that's in those turkeys, you end up with a much juicier bird, and that's what it's all about.
Right. So let's run down this rabbit trail of natural fat in that what I want to be eating for my Super Bowl, which is coming up tomorrow. Right. And let's finish the show here with a little bit of grazing food. If we're free ranging and we're natural fat, okay, that's my best attempt at a segue. But anyway, if I'm coming to your house tomorrow for the Super Bowl party, I like grazing. What I mean by that is several small dishes. I don't want to sit down to a big meal. This is a pick it, put it on a plate, and eat it kind of thing while you're watching the game, right?
Exactly.
What are your two or three go-tos?
If I was to give you three go-tos that I love, wings, you know, are a fan favorite, especially the way we like to do them at our house is we'll throw them on the smoker and smoke them for about an hour and a half at about 250, get that real nice smoke flavor in there. We'll put a rub on those wings ahead of time. And then what I like to do is, because of that low heat, we haven't really rendered or crisped up that skin at all, then I'll give them a quick flash fry in the deep fryer at outside so I don't stink up the house and get put in the doghouse by my yeah. lovely wife.
Yeah.
But I like that crispiness on it. But then by smoking them ahead of time, you really get a nice complex flavor. So you get the crispy skin, you get the smoky flavor, and then just pairing it up with whatever sauce, you know, glaze you want to put on those wings. And a lot of times we'll just eat them just like that because they're so tasty that way. Second go-to is probably your go-to, which I call meat on a stick, and that's just marinated lamb chops. You cut them into the single bone chops, you marinate them, and throw them on a grill and just stack them as high as you can. And it's like a natural fork handle on those lamb chops because you just pick them up and eat them as you go.
Yep.
And, you know, that's really what I'm looking for at Super Bowl time is things that I can do kind of ahead of time. People can pick up. They're not having to use knife and forks. It's gets back
finger
to
food, man.
Finger food and more manly styles of
right.
things.
And I would be very remiss if I didn't give the accolades that are due to Chef Andrew's lamb chops. He taught me how to make these. I've made them for dozens of people. And you get the, oh, my God, that's the best thing I've ever eaten response every time I serve them. They're flash-fired on a hot grill. They're medium rare, almost rare on the inside. And they're about they're lolly chops, some people call them. They're the Frenched bone. They've got a couple bites of meat on that lamb chop. And, oh, my, I'm not going to make him give you the marinade recipe because that's the secret. But good quality lamb cooked quickly on a hot fire, man. Oh man, that is a good one.
Yeah, that one never ceases to amaze me on how simple that recipe is and the technique, but how much people really love it. And I know it's one that I've been doing for about 20 years, but you never seem to forget bringing that one up. And either do people when they come over to the house, they're like, hey, are you doing meat on a stick tonight?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when you do grill those up, man, it's almost like sending smoke signals out to everybody because people come running.
We've bragged it up enough. Give them the overall 5,000-foot flyover of what's in the marinade on them because – this is what makes it, and you don't need quantities, just ingredients.
And it's really to your liking, and right. You know, there's no secrets in food, really. So it's a basic marinade. You're using red wine vinegar, an oil. And then I like to throw in my garlic, a lot of fresh herbs. And when I say fresh herbs, I'm using more of the potent Mediterranean Italian ones: marjoram, oregano, rosemary, fresh thyme, a little bit of onion in there. And then I like to spice it up with a little bit of Calabrian red chili pepper flake. And that's about it, man. And then you pull them out of the marinade, let the extra juices, you know, get off of them, season them up really well with good salt and pepper, and on the grill they go, and that's it, man.
A lot of people are afraid of lamb. They're like, ooh, lamb, I don't really know how to cook that. And to me, it's cooked, it's a delicate steak. You're going to cook this thing a lot less than you would any cut of beef, but you don't want to overcook it because it goes from wonderful to chewy it real quick.
Right, and like I say, on the big thing, like you were saying, the high heat, you want to start rendering some of the strong flavors of the lamb, which are in the fat, out of it, which helps to increase the juiciness and the appeal when you're grilling it. You get that flare up in those flavors, but yet you want to keep that meat medium rare to medium on that.
Right, and this isn't the cheapest cut of meat that you're going to buy. So you want to step up. It's a special occasion when I do these, but I'm telling you, I kick myself. I'm like, why don't I do this more often? They're just wonderful every time I do them. But anyway, that's a Chef Andrew original in my world. And like I said, I'd have been remiss if I didn't share that with you. But for the Super Bowl for me, you know what? I hear the chicken wings. We had a Matt Smith from Pit Stop Barbecue on last week, and he said there's like – he's going to do 800 pounds and sell them in 2 hours from his smoke shop, right? So it's the most widely eaten food for the Super Bowl of anything there is out there. So they are traditional. But coming up next, we're going to hit a couple more of these Super Bowl treats for you that you can make on your grill. So when your party is happening, you're going to have some fun. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Pasty Shop in Metro Downtown Saranac, Michigan. Vicky's does pasties and barbecue. With Barbecue Bob not here today, we're serving our pasties with gravy at the Jop House. But anyway, today's Man Law says that if you touch it, you own it. Speaking of this about the Super Bowl, if there's a grazing table out there and a tray on there, you don't get to touch it. without picking it up and eating it. This is not a try to find the one you want. You touch it, you own it. Sound right, Drew?
I agree with that 100%.
All right, man. I'm a jalapeno popper guy when it comes to the Super Bowl party. I wrap them in bacon, put the little – now, depending on who's over, if I've got all guys, I might not take all the seeds out of the peppers. I'm making a boat out of them, right? Cutting them in half lengthways. If there's ladies coming over to the party, the seeds are where the hotness is and that placental fiber in there. I get that out of there. Then in that roasting process, they tame down a little bit. Usually use a cream cheese mixture. Like I said, depending on who's coming over, I might put meat inside that cream cheese with there, a cooked meat or some
fruit.
A
little chorizo, yeah.
A little chorizo or some fruit. And then I wrap it in thin bacon, not thick, and wrap them up and then put them on the smoker is where I usually go because I don't like turning them when they're cut in half like that. If I roll them over, we lose all the good stuff on the inside. So I'll throw them on a smoker, 250. You'll know when they're done, when the bacon is shrunk down and it's created like a little pocket over top of the pepper, then you know what? Pull them off, put them on a tray, and they'll go like hotcakes. But that's one of my favorites for the Super Bowl. Those will definitely be on my spread tomorrow. Got any more?
Speaking of peppers, I like not only jalapenos, but sometimes jalapenos can be a little bit too hot for people.
Right.
You can take a shishito pepper. You can take Anaheims, different types of even larger ones, and do the same thing and then break those down into smaller bite-sized pieces. But lately I've been finding that like shishito peppers, you can actually just skewer those things and just grill them whole and dip them into whatever dip you want to have. You can have a bacon cheese dip that you can dip those peppers in, and they're just wonderful little bite things. You don't have to take and go through the whole process of breading your jalapenos or your peppers and make it all, you know, complex with heavy breading. Like you said, wrap them in bacon, throw them in the smoker, and away you go. But you know, with the food, you just want to keep it simple and enjoy it and have fun with it, man.
Yeah, little micro-brewed beer, or I know you're quite a connoisseur of wine. Next week when we get back together, because Barbecue Bob's been on sabbatical for a couple weeks, so...
maybe longer.
Drew, yeah, maybe longer if he finds it that he loves the beach down there in the middle of the Caribbean. But Drew's going to be back with us next week, and we'll talk about a whole different line. Is we're going to be pairing beer and wine with food, and his little brother, who's not such a little guy, but his little brother is a sommelier, right?
Yes.
And so we're going to have him join the show as well with us next week. And so I'll have not only a food expert, but a wine expert. So all I'm going to do is just sit back and, you know, poke the bear a little bit and watch this thing roll because I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. It's going to be a great week. And everybody enjoy the Super Bowl. And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Tune us in next week, Saturday. We'll talk to you then.